I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
I took a train and I got in at like 10 p.m. And my wife said that my son, his name is River. She said, River is still up. He's waiting for you. And I said, no, that's not possible. She said, yeah, he will not go to sleep. And so I got home and he was awake and he ran up to me, and then I just sat on the couch with him, and he fell asleep on my shoulder.
Welcome again to the Dad Experience. Today we have an exciting guest. Just so you know, I'm flying solo. It's Adam here. Mike is on a vacation still with his family, and he's all about us keeping moving forward and keeping the content coming to our listeners. So it'll just be me today, but that's all right. But today we have a great guest. We have Arash Shirazi. He is the co-founder, president, and CEO of Bullet Agency, a music management group that counts some of the world's top producers and DJs as its clients. He curates music for auto, fashion, and the entertainment industry events worldwide. He was recently recognized as a leading entrepreneur by Fast Company magazine. He's been profiled in the Washington Business Journal, Men's Health, and the Huffington Post. As well as in 2017, he released a documentary on the electronic music business. That documentary is called Above Ground Level and featured some of the world's top DJs in entertainment. He's got a huge, awesome resume that I know we're going to touch a bunch of this stuff in the interview. So we're going to just get right into it. Arash, how's it going? And thanks for being on The Dad Experience.
Yeah. Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me. It's interesting when you kind of reading my biography, it's kind of surreal. My parents would be very happy.
They should be. You've got quite the resume, my friend, and we're really excited to talk to you about it and talk about all things dad. So we always like to start our show off with the question, who lives with you at home and what is the makeup of your household?
Oh, I have to apologize to your audience in advance because I'm working from home and my kids may run in or just, you know, you'll hear some background noise, screaming.
They are so forgiving. If they keep listening to the podcast, they've heard it before, so we're good. Yeah. And that's what makes us real dads, right? We're trying to juggle and do things too.
Exactly. So you know, they're dads. I'm sure they understand. Who lives with me? My wife, obviously. Our kids. We were very lucky to have a nanny. She doesn't live with us, but just in the household, it's just my wife and my two kids.
Nice, nice. No pets or anything like that?
No pets. We are Persian, so we always, it's kind of like my big fat Greek wedding. There's, you know, we have a big Persian family on both sides, so there's a revolving door. There's always somebody popping in, bringing food, you know, hanging out.
Nice, nice. It's kind of like I'm Maltese, and it's kind of a similar thing, you know. Whenever you travel over to visit the family in Malta, there's, you know, 12, and they're probably listening to this, so there's nothing wrong with it. I've always loved the embrace of this, but there's always like 10, 12 people, especially when we haven't come for a while, so I get it. But hey, family's what's important, and that's what makes the world turn in our house, so.
Yeah.
You know, we want our kids to, and I don't know about you, but we really want our kids to experience the culture, their Maltese side. And, you know, my wife's side has a lot of French Canadian in them, and they've got a lot of folks that are from Maine. And we haven't done that part yet. But our goal is to make sure our kids get embraced in those cultures. And we honor those cultures because they're super important. I don't know. Do you guys do that a lot? Do you still embrace a lot of the culture and bring?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We do, you know, Persian New Year, we do certain holidays that, you know, not American holidays that we celebrate. We feed the kids Persian food. We're trying to talk to them in Farsi. I feel like they need that exposure. It's part of them. It's a part of who we are. I was born in Tehran, as a matter of fact. I wasn't born in the United States, so I definitely want them to learn their culture and heritage. And my wife is Persian as well.
Wow. That's cool. Have you taken them? Do you have family overseas still, or?
Yeah.
Have you guys traveled with the kids overseas yet, or?
We haven't done that yet. I've done long haul flights inside the U.S., but we haven't done international yet. I think traveling with two toddlers right now is difficult enough. I can't imagine doing it internationally.
We did it. How old are your two again?
18 months.
18 months. Yeah. Our youngest was born in April and we went to Malta in August. So it was tough. And our oldest is just two. So she was 1.5-ish when we went. And you know, the, and you know, when they're under two, it's free to fly, but they're in your lap. So it was tough. It was tough. But I have my grandmother's. No, it's not. My grandmother's in her 90s, and I want them to meet her. And that was kind of my thing. Is like, my dad's the only one here, so it was like, we've got to get them there. I don't care if the passengers on the plane hate me for 8 hours. I'm never going to see them again, and this is going to be a memory. It was probably more for me for that, but it was really cool to see them. And we swore we probably would wait until they were older, and what are we doing this summer? We're going to take them back again. But it's definitely worth it, but it's definitely not easy. So if it wasn't the case of having a lot of family there and having my grandmother still alive, which is amazing, and so they can see their great-grandmother, we probably would wait longer. But because of that reason, it's and we found that most passengers were understanding. There's only a few, and it usually is the, you know, a lot of the times it's single older folks that are flying, and they've just haven't been there in a long time. Yeah. And I'm guilty of it too. Before I had kids, I'm like, oh, why is this kid on the plane? And now I get it. And I wish I could take all that back. But, you know, there's certain times and places.
We were really lucky the last few times we've flown with them. And we've tried to book our flights at a time where it's bedtime. So, and we kind of bring their routine on the plane, you know, the foods they want, the milk, the drinks, you know, and they're too young to be entertained by iPods and things like that. So we, you know, we talk to them, we read to them, and we just, again, tried to bring their routine into that travel experience.
Yeah, I always found that putting them in their pajamas was huge.
Yeah, we did that as well.
That's so huge. I think it just kind of tricks their brain. Even when we're out late with a family somewhere, we're always like, let's get the pajamas. Because if we know we're going to be late at bedtime or coming home at bedtime, let's put the pajamas on so they can start getting into that routine.
Yeah.
But it's cool. So we heard a little bit about your bio at the beginning of the show when we introduced you. But can you kind of go into a little bit more detail and give maybe an elevator speech almost, you know, as much detail as you can on what you do and what your day-to-day interaction is with your business and your background?
I would say first and foremost, I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been interested in business. I've always done something entrepreneurial. I also grew up next to entertainment. My brother is a famous DJ, so I kind of grew up watching the genesis of his career, and then he asked me to be a part of his team, and so that was my foray into electronic dance music. I would say, though, that now would call myself the problem solver in chief. I have about a staff of 20 people around the world. And so I oversee the day to day and the general operations of the business. And you know, I'm just constantly looking for opportunities to continue growing, the business and grow my staff.
No, that's awesome. So it sounds like what you do is a pretty time consuming and demanding. And I would assume being involved in the entertainment and arts industry that there's some travel involved. So how do you balance that the work demands that are so important and probably can be at any hour of the day is what my assumption is. I don't know for sure. With your busy schedule and meeting the kids' needs and your twins' needs and being on the road.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question because I think everybody struggles with that. I know that, you know, 18 months into having kids, I'm still struggling to find that balance. I think it's a day-to-day thing. I used to just hop on a plane for a meeting. I would hop on a plane for a show. I just loved traveling. I remember, growing up, I would ask my dad to take me to the airport just to watch 747s fly and take off. And you know, I just love that. There's like this distinct smell when you get close to the airport, this excitement. And so when I started my business, I was on a plane once a week. I would fly to Europe for a meeting. I remember flying to Egypt for a show. I would leave on a Thursday and come back to the States on a Sunday. I just love travel. I learned about the world in my 20s, which was great. Now I have different responsibilities. One, of course, is still to my business, but I just don't want to miss moments with my kids. So I'm just very particular about, you know, how frequently I travel, when I travel, and what I travel for.
Yeah, and that's probably important, and that's what we have to take a step back. And do you do a lot of your? I'm just curious, and you don't have to answer this, you know. But do a lot of your clients have kids or don't have kids?
No, they don't have kids.
how does that work in understanding? Like, because I interact sometimes with people that I work with, and not that they don't do a great job or don't understand, but I think my brain switched, like kind of like it sounds like yours did. As soon as I had my kids, who are still relatively young as well, I went, the job isn't the most important. Do I spend a lot of hours at the job? Yes, I still do, and I give it 110% there. But I found that I get home and things just don't happen as much, or they don't just get it right away like they used to at work. And some of the folks that don't have kids, and I don't want to say all, not everybody, a lot of them do understand, but sometimes they don't always understand. How does that happen when you go from being, especially in that industry that we, as I'm looking at it as an outsider, not somebody that's involved in it, but we see from the outside that it's so demanding from the people that work with these artists or these people that are at the forefront. How do you take a step back and say, hey, listen, I've got a family too, and this is what I can give to you right now? Are they pretty understanding, or do you encounter any issues with that?
No. And unfortunately, you know, the music and entertainment industry is a young man's game. It runs very quickly and swiftly. What I did is I prepared when my wife and I got pregnant, I prepared for this. I really invested in the people around me. And I recognized that I probably wouldn't be able to take those late night phone calls. I probably wouldn't be able to travel as much. So I really invested in a few key people around me and built a team of people that my clients and associates that I work with trust. And so making that upfront investment, I think, really helped me acclimate to being a dad. And I haven't really had those issues because my team has been able to cover for me when I can't be present. But, you know, the clients that you want to work with will understand. And I also found that being a dad narrows your focus. It's almost like you have a bullshit radar. And the things that you would tolerate and stay on the phone for hours, you just don't have the time to do it. And you really have to pick and choose where you spend your time. And so you have, I feel like for me, you have a laser focus. You are really conscious of your time and how you spend it and what you spend your time on. So I actually think dads and people with children make better people to conduct business with, because they're not time wasters. They're focused, right? They want to get on with it and they want to deliver.
Yeah. No, well said. I agree. And it's interesting. I was curious is that, cause I knew, you know, I'm not by any means involved in the performance aspect of music. I'm an educator in music, but having just even the little experience of like just in the local scene, you know, it's kind of the adage of you turn a gig down once, you probably won't get the call the second time. It's like, you have to be, if you want the gig bad enough, you have to be available. And, you know, unfortunately, I choose my family all the time. So there's a lot of times where there's gigs that I can't take as a, you know, a freelance percussionist for a local theater or whatever, and then just move on to the next one just because that's the way the nature of the business. So I was just curious, and it sounds like there's a way to manage it, but it's still tough.
I mean, it's still a struggle for me. I mean, today, for example, my wife has a very busy career, and you know, we have a calendar together, and we highlight, you know, not only travel, but days that are really important. And so certain, you know, we'll sit down on Sunday and she'll say, okay, on Wednesday, I need to be here. I need you to take the kids to lunch. I need you to take the kids to a certain, you know, music class. And then I work my schedule around it. Maybe I'll wake up earlier and take an early conference call. Certain days I will have my assistant book a bunch of phone calls going, far past 7 or 8 p.m., and my wife will cover the bed and the bath time with the kids. So I feel like it's an art form, and we're still trying to figure it out. It's a week by week, day by day thing. If somebody has figured it out, I would love to hear, you know, what they do. But it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I something that I try to communicate on social media is the struggles that we have as parents and as a dad. Because from the outside looking in, a lot of people, they even look at me and they say, wow, you know, you have this business and you have these kids and you know, you have everything so together and you're, you know, successful, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I still have the same struggles with time and with work and with family that I think everyone else has.
Yeah, I think this gig would be, you know, being a dad and being just a professional and whatever you do. I think sleep. If we didn't have to sleep, this job would be a lot easier because yeah. You could get so much done when the kids are sleeping. So I think that's huge. But finding those times, you know, my wife and I are in a similar situation. We always, you know, she does a little bit with a small business, but she's an educator as well. And, you know, I do this, I teach and I do podcasting. And it's always that balance of like, okay, I can schedule and you know, I'm lucky I do a podcast for dads with dads. So when I say, listen, I have a full-time job and this is my other thing that I like to do as well. When I record, I try and do it after the kids are in bed so I can help with the bedtime routine or when they're in nap. So that way I'm not really disrupting their day. So it's tough. And sometimes it doesn't work.
The great thing about technology is, I mean, the great thing and the awful thing about technology is you can work from anywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. When I first started my business, I was working in a basement. When I was renovating my office, I worked out of a coffee shop. And so, you know, I've done deals on airplanes, you know, using Wi-Fi. I work in airport lounges. I find moments where I can be productive, mm-hmm. but I'm also sometimes hyper productive and very type A. So.
Yeah, but I think with kids, sometimes we have to find those little times when we can map everything out and get the details so we can get to that stuff in order to make sure we're successful. So you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but maybe we can delve into this a little bit more. So you're both very busy people, both you and your wife.
Yeah.
How do you guys manage the parenting stuff? How do you manage, you know, the day-to-day stuff, like is there a routine that you kind of just tag team on, or is it just like free for all and we just do whatever? How does that kind of work for you guys?
The one thing I wanted to just pivot back to for a moment,
sure.
For anybody listening, is I knew nothing about kids. I didn't have any nephews or nieces. I didn't really, you know, I was in the business world. I had no, I definitely wanted kids, but I didn't know anything about kids. Mm-hmm. When my wife and I found out that we were having twins, I almost fainted in the doctor's office. I had to sit down because, you know, ours were natural birth, mm-hmm. so conception. So we didn't, you know, we were just surprised when we heard a second heartbeat on the sonogram. And you know, just to give you some information about my lack of expertise in being a dad, I asked my wife. When we bought diapers, I said, oh, like, do you change their diapers after breakfast, lunch, and dinner? You know, like little babies picked and choose when they, you know, use the bathroom. I mean, I just didn't know. I didn't know anything. I was terrified when we left the hospital. So my first, you know, year of being a dad, just from when we got pregnant to, you know, up until we took them home was terrifying. But I just dove in. That's what I do. So. Mm-hmm.
I think we're all terrified to some extent. And I think one person's, you know, being terrified might be, and the other person may even have a little more experience. I can tell you right now, I was terrified. We were excited about our first because we'd been trying. We went through IVF and had things, you know, setbacks that way. So our first was amazing when we just felt blessed that we were going to get to be parents. And we're like, well, this may not happen. This probably won't happen again. We'd like it to, but it's probably not going to unless we throw a lot of money at it or it just some miracle happens. And, you know, we basically had Irish twins. We some miracle happened. We had our first and she's now two, and our youngest is going to be a year in April. So they're only like, I want to say 18 months apart. I want to say off the top of my head. So, and it was the second was terrifying. And I don't even know how you do it because I think the first thing that came to my mind was, oh gosh, we have two kids under two in diapers. Like, how am I going to manage that? Like, we're already not getting sleep. So I was terrified more with the second, I think, just because I didn't know how we were going to manage two that small. So how do you guys manage that part of it? I mean, having twins, like, does it work out a lot of the times where the diapers are changed at the same time? Or do they tantrum at similar times? Or are their feeding schedules at similar times? Just, and you know, I don't know if the twin thing has anything to do with it. You know, you hear about that twin, with the sharing of the bonding of the twins, but how do you manage that that being double.
Yeah, all you at know, the same time. It's double the work, but double the joy. And I have to say, my wife deserves all the credit for that because she is really great at establishing routines. And she just, you know, she's just awesome. And I think that's the important thing, is having a great partner in this, you know, dad journey with you. But, you know, yeah, we put them on the same schedule. I mean, it's not easy. It's, you know, there are days when it's really challenging. People who don't have twins always say how difficult it must be, but we don't know any differently because we came home with two babies. So, you know, putting them on a sleeping schedule is challenging because one will wake up the other, or a feeding schedule. But my wife is really good at routines. And in fact, she established a routine from the moment we got home, you know, with the kids, and we haven't changed that. And I think that's really important as far as being a successful parent or a dad, is having routine. And even before I had kids, I loved routine. Even when I would travel to London, for example, I would wake up at this, you know, and have the same routine. I would wake up, I'd go for a run, I'd have my coffee, I'd read the paper, I'd stay in the same hotel. You know, the guy in the coffee shop knew who I was just from doing that routine and traveling there so frequently. So I think routine is key in personal success and just being successful as a dad.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think we're all animals in some sense, right? And I think every animal wants a routine, whether it's the most simplest of routines or the most complex. We like routines, and that's patterns and everything. That's what makes the world turn, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think kids need that. They need structure, mm-hmm. and they need routine. And even babies, they understand that. And you know, every night we have a ritual. They have their dinner, and then we, you know, we read to them, you know, for half an hour, 20 minutes, just to let their food digest. And then, you know, now they can walk. They just recently started walking a few months ago, and now they walk, you know, towards the bath, and they know it's bath time. And you know, we give them a bath, and then we maybe read to them a little more, and then, you know, they have their milk, and they go to bed, and they know that they know that after dinner is bath time, and after bath time they, you know, they might read a book, but we sort of set that mood in that routine. So it's not a struggle. It's not a fight every night that some parents have with their kids.
Yeah. And I know from our experience, I don't know about your experience, but even when it gets thrown off a little bit, like if you stay at the grandparents' house a little bit later, or you're away for a night and then you come back, we've always found that the routines are a little bit tougher to follow at that point, and it takes a minute to get back into those routines. Do you guys find that as well?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I was in New York on Monday, and my wife was texting me. I think I took a train, and I got in at like 10 p.m. And my wife said that my son, his name is River. She said, River is still up. He's waiting for you. And I said, no, that's not possible. She said, yeah, he will not go to sleep. And so I got home, and he was awake, and he ran up to me, and then I just sat on the couch with him, and he fell asleep on my shoulder. And so I think my not being there threw off the routine. But also, at this age, 18 months, they do get attached to one parent.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And we find that, you know, we find that too. And it's just, we know that we have to do things for ourselves too. So we know that, like, we're going to deal with it, and it'll be fine. And it's only a little bit of a time that this is an issue that's going to happen. So, it's tough. It's interesting.
But you know what? They will never be this age again. And that's what I tell all of my friends that are new dads, and even, you know, moms that I know, and we, you know, go out to dinner with friends. They'll never be this age again. They'll never be 18 months again. They'll never be 1 month again. And so I tried to stop and really savor those moments. You know, when I got home from New York, and I was pretty tired and hungry, and you know, I kind of wanted to just decompress because I was going to have to get up early and go to the office the next day. But my son, you know, my son is sitting, is laying on my chest, right? And it's just amazing, that feeling, that bonding, but that feeling is just amazing. You know, as a dad, I'm sure you can understand, but he's never going to be that age again. And I try to imprint these moments in my mind so I don't forget.
Yeah, and you know, it's to take it even one step, and I think I've talked about it on the episode way early on, but think about this, and my wife is the one that actually brought this to my attention. There'll be that one day where it'll be the last time you get to read that bedtime story to the kid. because they get to that age. And you never know. Or it's going to be the last time they fall asleep in your arms because they just put themselves to bed. So it's like you have to live in those moments and cherish those moments. And when I put it in perspective, if I'm getting down going, oh my gosh, I'm so busy, I got to do this, this, and this. You know, my wife just needs to do this today so I can get this stuff done. I have to remind myself, what with your job being so demanding, and we all know that our healthy marriage and the time that we spend with our partners is so important. And I ask this of most of our guests that come on, because we're all busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got something going on. How do you manage that mom and dad time that is so important? Like when you guys get to go out and go do a dinner or go to a winery or something, whatever it may be, or go to a movie. How do you guys manage that time with having the young kids and then having you both having such demanding work schedules?
Fortunately, we have grandparents to help and, you know, find good neighbors if you can that could make babysitters. But I think that, you know, you and your wife or you and your partner, you know, whoever's listening, you and your partner have to have a strong foundation.
I have to step back and go, but when it's gone, I can't do those things anymore. Yep. Whereas I can make a phone call 5 minutes later, you know, and I'm not the best about this. I'm very OCD about making sure my routine is there and I get the things done that I need to, because who knows what's going to pop up next and I'm going to have to put out a fire. So it's like one of those things that's a tough balance, but it is. We have to remember that we're only going to get to sing them that song. You know, there's going to be a last time. There's going to be a last time that we eat a snack together. So just remembering that, I think, is super important.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. I'm a former workaholic, right? I used to eat lunch at my desk. I would be in the office until, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the evening. So for example, today I had my assistant hold all my calls and I played with my kids in the morning. I have to go to a show tonight. So, you know, I spent the morning with my kids and then we went out to lunch. And I just kind of block those times out on my calendar because I don't want to miss them. And I think it's important that, you know, we do spend time with them as dads.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, before we go on our break here, before we take our break, I have one more question that kind of just ties into all this stuff. So, you know, with your job being so demanding and us knowing how important it is to have a healthy marriage and taking care of you and your partner or your wife or whoever, you know, your significant other is, how do you find being both, you know, busy with two twins that, you know, 18-month-old twins, but also having such demanding jobs on both ends for both you and your wife? How do you guys manage that time that's so important, whether it's going to see a movie or going to a winery or doing whatever it is that you do to find mom and dad time to keep your marriage healthy?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, three parts to that question. One is finding the time and calendaring the time. I think that's really important. You know, two, it's recognizing that you and your wife, you and your partner, significant other, you are the foundation supporting the family, right? If that bedrock is not strong, your family unit isn't strong. So you have to make the time, right? Make the time. It's key. I think the third part is that you have to find these, you know, romantic moments. It doesn't have to be a dinner. It doesn't have to be wining and dining. You know, my wife and I will go on a run together. My wife and I will go on a walk together. We'll calendar dinners at great new restaurants that we want to try out, you know, and we'll calendar it a month out. So we know we're in that mindset that we're going to have a date night. But we try to do something once a week. And whether, you know, it doesn't have to be dinner and wine. It could be a movie. It could be, you know, a workout together. I also try to do sort of romantic things for her so she knows that I, you know, that I have her front of mind, right? I'll leave her a post-it note in her car, you know, telling her how much I love her, how much I appreciate her. I, you know, will wash her car and fill it up with gas so she doesn't have to do that, right? I'll go grocery shopping and you know, she'll come home to a full refrigerator. It doesn't have to be flowers all the time. It doesn't have to be this Hollywood version of romance, right? It's finding things that will make that person's life easier. If that answers your question.
Oh, it totally does. And it's well said. It's a well said answer. I think it's, those are important things and definitely some great ideas for some of the dads out there that are looking for more of that.
I think my wife is happiest when I do the laundry and fold and do, you know, all, when I get all the kids' laundry, all of our laundry done. I think that has more impact than flowers nowadays.
It probably does. It probably does. Well, this is a great place for us to take a quick break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get us, as well as many other parenting podcasts, on their app, which you can get at the iTunes Store, as well as the Google Play Store. And if you like the Dad Experience, make sure you stick around to the end of the episode, because there's going to be another great parenting podcast that, if you love this one, we're sure you're going to like. So right after the break, more with Arash. We're going to talk more about kids and twins and family and just being super busy. So stick around after the break, and we'll continue on with this great conversation. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. Really exciting stuff and information. Lots being shared today. And we're just going to get right back into it and keep on trucking and hopefully get a lot more out of our dad on today. So we just got done talking a little bit about balancing that parenting life. So kind of moving forward still in the parenting realm, what is there something that you experienced as a dad that maybe didn't go your way at first, but then had this aha moment of like, gosh, I wish I could do this every time, or I'm going to do this every time to make it happen? It could be something that just happened accidentally, or something that you just kind of work through a problem, or let's call it, for lack of better terms, maybe a dad fail that you work through and were like, oh my God, why didn't I think of this sooner? Has there been anything like that where you experienced, you know, something that you had to kind of work out and then come up with a solution that you could share and maybe help other dads with?
Like changing diapers?
Maybe.
You know, I haven't really had an aha moment. I will say that when your kids start getting active and crawling, I think playing with them and exhausting them out really helps get them to go to sleep. I, you know, now that my kids walk and they kind of jog a bit, I will chase them around the house for 15 or 20 minutes. It's a workout for me too. And after I do that, they seem to sleep through the night a lot better. Like I try to wear them out.
Yeah, I think. Well, us as parents, we don't always remember that these are kids with a lot of energy. I mean, think about when you were little. We all have a lot of energy, you know, and every kid does. And if we don't keep them going or doing something, you're right, they're just going to go to bed and they're going to be wound for sound because they didn't get the energy out when they were supposed to. And a lot of times I've even heard people that said their days and nights get flipped because there is so much more downtime. And then when they go to bed, they're just wild and ready to go. So, yeah, I think that's huge. I think that is a huge thing to take a look at as a young parent, because I don't think we always do. We're like, why can't you just sit still for 5 minutes if we need the break? But at the end of the day, they're growing and they need to get that energy out because they're growing and there's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So we have a segment that we like to do on all of our episodes with all the guests that we have on, and it's things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. And, you know, it could be anything. It could be sharing in a profession. It could be going to see a movie that you loved when you were a kid. But something that takes you back to your childhood that you can't wait to see your kids go through or experience again as seen through their eyes. Is there something that you can't wait to see or have seen?
You know, it's funny when you say that, it kind of scares me a bit because they're growing, right? It's like they're not going to be this age again, and sometimes that terrifies me because I'm like, wow, they're going to be in high school one day, they're going to be in college one day. But for me, I just always loved school, and so I can't wait to see what the first day of school is going to be like for them. I think that's one thing, and maybe taking them to their first concert, and maybe taking them to even see my brother perform would be really interesting for me. And also, I always remember my first time going to Europe, and I'd love to take them to Europe and learn a little bit about history and just see through their eyes what it's like when they experience a totally different culture.
No, that's awesome. Those are fun things to see and get them experience. Just things that I've experienced with my kids, and even at a young age, being able to do that. And that is amazing. That's amazing to see that happen. And I think you have very similar wishes for your kids to see through their eyes too, because I'm the same way. I want to get them to travel, and I want them to experience all that and seeing things for the first time. And concert, number one concert. So since we're talking about concerts, what was your first concert you've ever seen?
My first concert, I can't even remember. I've gone to so many. I think it was like OMD or Depeche Mode.
Nice.
Sort of, yeah, one of those.
Nice. I think my first one was, it was, I saw the Beach Boys when they were all touring together still in the late 80s. The only person that wasn't touring still was Dennis Wilson. And they had just done, they did the Heartbeat of America tour because GM was sponsoring them. And we're in Detroit, which is, you know, Automotive Alley here. And my dad's a GM employee. And I remember going to, they didn't play at like a major rock venue. They actually played at the, one of the headquarter buildings here in Michigan and got to see them play, which was pretty cool. And I'm pretty sure John Stamos was the drummer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I think he was touring with them. It was like around the time of Kokomo, I believe. You know, I'm assuming you're similar in age to me. So, but yeah, it was around that time. So that was my first concert, which is pretty cool and kind of cheesy, too.
Yeah. I remember wanting to go. All of us wanted to see Michael Jackson. It was like the Pepsi tour in 1987.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
This is when Michael Jackson was, you know, the everywhere, right? He was ubiquitous. He was the king of pop, you know, all over. And I think that was the one that we all wanted to go to.
Yeah, but I wish I would have went to see that. I was too young to that one. Early Madonna, all that stuff would have been so cool to see. But hey, you can't be everywhere and do everything.
Prince, that was a good one.
That was an amazing show. I saw Prince too. I saw him twice. Man,
that you did. So that was the great thing about growing up in the 80s is we had all of, you know, we had MTV was new and we had all of these new, you know, new superstar performers. That it was just a great. It was a great time. I mean, that's a whole separate podcast. But
oh, absolutely.
That was a great time. Bruce Springsteen.
We'll have to have you on and talk. Dad 80s in concert talk. Yeah. That would be a lot of fun. So, you know, we always like to allow our guests to kind of talk to let them know where they can find you, talk about social media, anything that's coming up that you want to promote. What do you got going on and how can our folks find you?
Yeah, I mean, I love hearing from fellow dads. They hit me up on Instagram. My Instagram is Arash777, which the name actually is 777. It's an airplane. So those were the days I was traveling all the time. But I have dads hit me up about business questions, about, you know, handling kids, handling, you know, the work-life balance. So hit me up on Instagram, on Twitter. I think I'm Arash Shirazi on Twitter. So you can shoot me a message there. Love to hear from you.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll put all that in the show notes so folks can find you. Well, we appreciate you doing this today. We really, really, really enjoyed having you and we learned a lot. So thanks for being here with us today, Arash.
Yeah, it was just awesome.
No problem.
I enjoyed it.
No problem. And we'll love to have you back. We'll have you back again in the near future so we can kind of update our guests on you. So don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. And if you have a question for a guest, if you have a question for Arash or any of our past guests, or you have a show idea or show topic you want to be discussed, email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, The Dad Experience, and on Facebook and all the major social media outlets. So hit us up, let us know, give us some feedback, and keep telling your friends and folks about The Dad Experience. We keep growing and growing and growing every week, and we really appreciate it. And a lot of that comes from you guys, the listeners, and we appreciate all the support and the word of mouth. So thank you so much. We're going to catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.